A lot of people can relate to having a point in their life where they feel like they've hit rock bottom. For Amberly Lago, that point came over 7 years ago when she was involved in a motorcycle accident. Little did she know this horrific experience would not only change her life forever, but it would teach her how to inspire and motivate those around her. Today on Healthy Body, Healthy Mind, we have Amberly Lago, a trainer slash motivational speaker and author of True Grit and Grace, which will be released later this year. And it's a book where she tells her story and what her life is like 34 surgeries later. So, Amberly, how are you today?
Hi. Thanks so much for having me here.
You're
welcome. It's exciting.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thanks.
So we have a special show today. I'm pretty excited to talk about your story. Let's start with your life and your background. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, I grew up in a small town in Texas, northeast Texas, outside of Dallas. And I grew up dancing and always an athlete. I ran track. And I, you know, like a lot of people that moved to L.A., I always had a big dream to come out here and live that California dream and be a dancer. And so I saved up and, you know, lifeguarding and teaching dance classes and babysitting and doing whatever I could to save up here and pursue my dreams. And my very first music video I did was MC Hammer.
Nice!
So that's kind of dating myself a little bit, but you know, I never thought I'd be out here for this long, and now it's 27 years later, and, you know, although I feel like a true Texan at heart, I love it here in California, and I'm married, and I have two girls.
Nice. Do you ever go back to Texas?
Yeah, I go back. I'm going to go back next month, actually.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, my family's there. I go back and visit a lot.
I see. Yeah. So let's talk about a little bit about personal training and your fitness background. How did you get into the fitness field? You said you were an athlete. Was that how it started, or did you always know you wanted to be a personal trainer? How did
You know, like I said, I always ran, and you know, athleticism and dance was always my go-to. Thank God I had that outlet as a child, because I grew up with some things that weren't so pretty, and so I always had that for an outlet. And I taught dance, and when I moved out here, I was busy traveling, and then I was a single mom, and I thought, I don't want to travel anymore. And I started going to the gym, and I had hurt my knee, and I started rehabbing it, and I thought, well, if I can get to the gym and get stronger and feel better, I can not only teach dance, but I could also teach other people how to do that and feel good. And so that's when I went and I got certified through National Strength and Conditioning Association and started doing kettlebell courses when that came out, and kickboxing courses. And I, you know, I wanted to learn
a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I wanted to learn as much as I could. And then that's when I got into the fitness industry and started training clients.
So what, let's see, what's your preferred style of training or something that you like to specialize in, if anything?
Well, you know, it's great when you exercise to look good, but honestly, I feel like my main goal is to exercise and to teach people how to exercise to feel good.
Right.
Because you can look good, but if you don't feel good, it doesn't really make that big of a difference.
Exactly.
And you know, like I said, exercise was always my go-to. You know, those endorphins that are released, it makes you feel good. But my style of training, although I've worked with fitness competitors and done heavy kettlebell swings, I've also worked with young kids. And I had my oldest client was 82 years old and taught him how to balance on a Bozu. So it really ranges, but mainly it's to exercise smart, feel good, and show people that they can do things and they can reach their
regardless
goals.
Regardless of age, anything, right?
Exactly.
All right, so I said that today we had a special show. I think that you have a special story. I talked about your motorcycle accident, and I wanted to get into that a little bit. Talk about your motorcycle accident, how it happened. Maybe give us a little brief story.
Okay, yeah, I was I grew up on dirt bikes as a kid, and I had my second Harley. And actually, I was just down the street at the gym, and I was coming home. I had just finished training clients, and earlier that day, I had ran my best 11-mile run in my best time. And so I was feeling great, and it was a holiday weekend, a Friday afternoon, and I was on my way home from the gym and going down Ventura, right down the street, and a guy who claims he didn't see me. He like punched it out of a driveway and hit me, and my right leg took the brunt of the impact.
Oh my God.
I was thrown 30 feet, and as I was sliding down Ventura, I thought, oh, please don't let another car hit me.
Right.
And after the paramedics came, I was quickly taken to a trauma center and put in induced coma because my femoral artery was severed, and I had lost so much blood, and I was going into shock, and they couldn't control my pain. And so when I woke up out of a coma, the first thing I learned was that short of a war wound, my leg was basically crushed and there was nothing they could do and they were going to have to amputate it. But 34 surgeries later, they were able to repair my femoral artery and piece by piece put my leg together and save my leg. But they didn't. Later diagnosed me with a nerve disease due to trauma called CRPS, which is a chronic nerve pain disease that there's no cure for. Mm-hmm. But I'm hoping to bring more awareness about that.
Yeah.
And because it's nicknamed the suicide disease.
Really?
Yeah. And I'd like to bring some kind of hope for people out there that maybe someday there is a cure. Or just because you have a disease doesn't mean you have to, it has to own you and you have to stop your life.
Exactly. You can keep going. That seems like a pretty traumatizing experience. And I wanted to ask you, what kind of impact did that have in your life? It's not, car accidents are not in any way, whether they're small, whether it's a bumper, whether it's anything small, it's always going to have an impact in your life. What kind of impact did something so serious have in your life after now that you're here recovering 34 surgeries later? What kind of impact did that accident have in your life?
You know, thank God for the beginning of it. I was in such denial that it was as bad as it was.
Can't even imagine.
And I didn't know. And, you know, I would be in between surgeries with my leg bandaged up in the hospital painting my toenail. I thought there's no way they're going to amputate my leg. It just wasn't even a possibility. But you know, I had always heard your life can change in a split second. Your whole life can change. And my life went from being the best shape of my life, having a family and friends, and my career was booming, to all of a sudden it was like the rug was pulled out from under me, and I'm fighting to save my life and my leg. And what has changed is I have learned to know when I need help, ask for help.
Not be scared to ask for it, right?
And receive help. I appreciate the smallest of things. Every morning I wake up and I write a gratitude list. And I mean, most days it's the same. You know, I could be grateful for, you know, my family, my friends, for the birds chirping I hear outside. Some days I'm grateful that my pain level is a 4 instead of 8 that it was the day before.
Mm-hmm.
But I've learned to be grateful, and to my whole perspective
changed.
Has been shift in a positive way. And I've really learned that even though, you know, circumstances may have narrowed my possibilities, I can still have the life that I've always imagined.
Right. It's amazing that you still kept that positive attitude, because it's, for something like that, even something like so major, having a positive attitude can change everything completely. And I think that was important for you to maintain that positivity, saying you're not going to lose your leg. You know, I think that had a big, a big part in your recovery. It seems like you were pretty positive about it.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I had some dark moments, and I was sitting in the hospital one night, and I didn't sleep because the pain was so bad, and this infomercial came on about how to get that Brazilian butt, and I thought, oh my God, I'll never have a Brazilian butt. Look how scarred my leg is. I'll never wear a bikini again. And I mean, I'm embarrassed to say, I was getting really shallow. Forget that they saved my leg. I thought,
thinking about your scar.
Already thinking about that. Here I was, a dancer and a fitness trainer, and I'd just done an exercise video the day before this accident happened. And I started to have a little pity party.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, I've got a choice here. I can go down that road and feel sorry for myself and play that role of a victim, or I can choose to be happy. And so I got out, I had a little pad, not even a journal, but like a little pad and a pen. And that's when I started writing a gratitude list. I started writing down everything I was grateful for. Mm-hmm. Every single nurse that came in and took care of me. One of my friends brought me weights. I was doing weights in the hospital bed so
you.
I could keep my upper body strength up and feel some kind of normalcy.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a hard road. And, you know, one day when I got out of the hospital, I was like, I'm embarrassed to say, but I looked down at my leg and it just gave me so much pain. And at first I would try to cover up the scars. And I was like, I hate my leg. And my husband said, sorry, I'm getting
No, go ahead. That's why I said today was going to be special, and I'm so glad you're here, because that's the point of today's show, is I want people to know how special you are. So go ahead, take your
Thanks.
Time.
Thanks. He said, you know, you should be grateful you have two legs.
Right, yeah.
And that changed. You know, sometimes you need somebody to kind of slap you around and wake you up a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, it took me a long time. But now I finally don't cover up my scars.
That's amazing.
I was really embarrassed about them, and I had the doctor that saved my leg, mm-hmm. because my husband had Googled limb salvage, and he got me transferred to Cedars, and that's where a doctor was willing to try to save my leg. I had a 1% chance of saving it. And I went in to see this doctor one day, and he put my leg in his lap, and he looked at my leg like it was a masterpiece. And I thought, well, my God, if he can look at my leg like that, then I can start
looking at
my leg.
Exactly.
And so now I'm proud of it. I don't, you know, I'm proud of those battle scars that I've earned, you know. And it's a kind of a symbolization of the victory of that battle I won.
You're truly a warrior in this case. And it's important that you teach these people, anyone that can have a small scar that's so insecure about, you know, to own it, basically. Mm-hmm. It's a story, and that's how you can tell your story, is maybe letting people know that it's okay, that any scar that you may be insecure about or anything, it's okay to own it, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's funny, because my husband, I think he had when I first started going out in public, I remember the first time we went out we were in South Beach, and I had my bikini on, and he was like, aren't you going to cover your leg up? I mean, shouldn't you put a compression sock on that? What if your scars get burned? And I said, no, honey, let's have fun with it. If right. somebody asks me about it, we'll just make it. I'll say, hey, I was in a shark attack, or, you know, you just. So then the next day he said, well, what are we going to tell people today if they ask? I said, I don't know. You come up with something.
We'll think about it. Yeah. That's amazing. Do you still do personal training despite your injury?
When I got out of the hospital, I actually needed my clients more than they needed me. I needed to have a purpose. I fought hard to get back to training. And I'm not going to lie to you. When I first was able to start training again, I felt broken, and I thought, who's going to want to train with me? And to my surprise, I got really booked up with clients, because people saw me going to the gym in my wheelchair and then on crutches and then hobbling along and then back on crutches and then walking, and then walking some days with a limp and some days without a limp. And they looked at me and saw, well, if she can do it,
exactly.
I can do it. And I then became the trainer that they came to that said that people told them, no, you can't. I said, oh, yes, you can.
Look at me.
So I work with a lot of people that have had, not some people that have, you know, fibromyalgia. I have a client that I've had for 20 years who I'm training her through chemo right now. So I've got all kinds of different levels of clients, mm-hmm. and I don't train, you know, I used to train 40 to 60 sessions a week, and I don't do that. I've had to try to learn a balance. That's mm-hmm. one of my biggest challenges, mm-hmm. is just learning balance in life, you
yeah.
know, to try to take care of myself so I can then take care of others.
Exactly. I mentioned that you're a motivational speaker.
Mm-hmm.
You like to go in public, and how did you get into that?
Well, you know, I have to say, I don't know so much if I like it. I get nervous as
it's
hell.
It's everyone's fears, public
speaking.
Oh,
my God. But I tell you what, it comes with nerves, but the payoff and the rewards are so great from it because I got into it. I had a friend of mine who knew what I went through, and she invited me to go speak to her group. She has like a networking group, a luncheon that she invited me to. And I said, well, I've never done a motivational speech. I've never given a speech. What, you know? And she goes, oh, you'll be fine. Just make sure you wear a suit. Well, I didn't even own a suit. So I had to go out, buy a suit. And this first group of people I was giving the speech to was a bunch of lawyers, financial advisors, and realtors. And I thought, what are they, why are they going to want to hear me?
How are we going to relate?
And the truth is, you know, we all have struggles, where whether they're physically, professionally,
financially.
Anyway, we all have struggles. And if we can relate to one another on a personal level, then that's a great thing. And I think that's a great thing. And then I think all of us have, in some way, can relate to one another. But, you know, I enjoy doing the motivational speaking. I just gave a speech 2 weeks ago, and afterwards I shared about my struggle, mm-hmm. and I told that a doctor had told me that because of my nerve disease that I should stay in a wheelchair. And I shared my story, and there was a young girl that came to me afterwards who had been diagnosed with a neurological disorder, and she was a dancer. And she came to me in tears, and she said, because of you, I'm going to dance again. I was told I wouldn't, and now I'm going to. So if I can share a little bit of my story and give anybody just the least bit of hope that you know, don't give up on your dreams, then it makes it all worth all those nerves and all, you know, the nervousness. So that I love being able to connect with people.
Yeah, and you can give them that sort of hope if they, like, somehow relate their story to yours.
Yeah.
You can strike, like that dancer girl, how you were a dancer as well. She can relate to you. Where do you usually do your speeches? Is it always like fitness? What is it like exactly?
Well, I did do fitness a while ago at UCLA to their fitness, their dance department. I mean, and then I've worked with or spoken to Dress for Success and Single Mothers Outreach, National Charity League. I also speak to a lot of schools and corporations, and also treatment centers. So I just love connecting with people. And then I also just was invited to do Lorna Jane's Inspired Women series, and that was fun and an honor that they invited me to come.
Lorna Jane, is that a fitness attire company?
A fitness attire company, and I like them because they talk about their whole philosophy is nourish and believe. So it's really about taking care of yourself.
That's amazing. And I wanted to talk about your book, which you said, I said, it would be released later this year.
Right? Yes, yeah.
True Grit and Grace, that's the title of the book. When did you decide that you wanted to tell your story, not only on a personal level, but actually write your story? When did you decide that?
You know, I suddenly I had the idea, I think I want to write a
just
book.
Woke up one day and you're like, I want to write a book.
And so I took a class. It was the scariest class I've ever taken. It was a guy named by the name of Jack Grapes, and I had told a few people I wanted to take a writing class. And I had three different people tell me, you've got to try this guy, Jack Grapes. You've got to try his class. And I thought, well, I've got to try this class. This is the third person that's told me. So he would give us exercises, and we would have to write something and then read it in front of the class. Well, I couldn't make the beginner's class, and so I took the advanced class. And I would have to stand up in front of these published authors and poets and very established authors and read, and it scared me to death. And he asked me once after I was reading with my hands shaking and I was crying, he goes, Amberlee, why did you take my class? And I said, because I want to write a book. And he said, someday you will write a book. And so I went home and I started writing my book. And to my surprise, I never would have thought I would have written a book, but I wrote a book. And it's in the hands. I've got a publisher who I so fortunately had interest in my book. So, like I said, it'll be out this year. So
yeah, it's exciting. That's amazing. What, roughly around what time? Like later on this year?
It's in the hands of the publisher now. And I have updates on that if you follow me on Amberly Lago Motivation on Instagram or on my Facebook page, Motivational Speaker Amberly Lago. Mm-hmm. I give updates, and they say 3 months, hopefully 3 months, mm-hmm. but it's kind of in their hands now.
I see. True Grit and Grace. What's the meaning behind that title?
I had to really dig deep to and have a lot of grit to get through those surgeries, to find the courage and persevere through surgery after surgery. And I feel like it's God's grace upon me that got me through this too. So naming my book was harder than naming my own children. And when it came to me one day, I had written the book and it came to me. I had a friend of mine, I had posted a picture of my leg, an x-ray of my leg.
Okay.
And I went to my daughter's barn and she looked at me and she said, "I had no idea that's what your leg looked like." She goes, "Girlfriend, you are True Grit and Grace."
Oh my God. So,
and I said, "Can I use that?" She said, "You're welcome." And I said, "Thank you." So thank you, Amelia. Thank you for that title.
What do you do on your spare time when you're not speaking or training?
When I'm not speaking or training, you know, it's funny. My husband just asked me last night. He goes, "Oh, Mother's Day's coming up." And he said, "I know what you're going to want to do." And I'm like, "What?" He goes, "You're going to want to go for a hike at the beach." And what if I'm not, you know, doing something at my daughter's school or doing a speech or training? I love to be outside. I love to go and just be in nature. And I love to hike because I finally can.
Right.
Again, I feel like it's just, you know, so I'm grateful not to just be able to walk, but, you know, they're not massive hikes, but just to be outside.
To be able to even do something like that.
Yeah. And on days where I feel like, oh, my God, look at that mountain. How am I going to climb it? I snap out of it and say, you know what? I'm grateful that I have the ability to climb it.
I have a couple of questions that I think maybe might be the same thing. If I could, who or what helped you get through such rough time in your life?
I would have to say, you know, my husband was by my side, and when I was at Cedars, he took off work and he was at the hospital every single day. And my mom flew out from Texas, took off work to be with me. And my daughters inspire me. There were days when I would be in bed. I had a hospital bed downstairs and I would be in so much pain. I think, how am I going to get out of bed today? How am I going to do this? And I would hear, my youngest daughter was only two when it happened. And all I would have to do would hear her little voice, and I was up, and you know, I could, you know, get around. I learned how to drive with my left foot, mm-hmm. And put my right leg on the dashboard, mm-hmm. and Johnny, my husband, says, who's a cop or a retired cop, he said that's legal, so I don't know, but I did.
You made sure it was legal first.
You know, they kept me going, and because I wanted to set a good example for them. I wanted to set an example of a strong woman, of a survivor.
You told me your daughter inspired you. That was my next question. I actually wanted to ask you, who inspires you? Who is your inspiration?
Other than being addicted to motivational quotes, like I could sit and just scroll through people's motivational quotes, and I love reposting what people have posted or something they have said. So I love that. But really, my daughters, you know, my oldest daughter is she's in pre-med right now.
Wow.
She is going to be a doctor. And my youngest daughter motivates me and inspires me. She's a horse girl. She's horse crazy. And she's just this little nugget. And she gets out there and wrestles with this, you know, she has her own pony. And she rides it and she falls off and she gets back on. And so,
just like her mom.
Yeah, you know, it's just getting back up. It's okay to fall off. You're going to fall off. It's just getting back up every time.
Yeah, exactly. To close this out, I wanted to ask you if there's anything that you like to add, maybe talk about your book. Do you do a book signing tour, or do you plan on doing anything like that?
Yes, it'll be at Barnes & Noble, so I'll definitely have a book and a book signing at Barnes & Noble. And again, just please follow me on Instagram or Twitter at Amberly Lago, or Facebook motivational speaker Amberly Lago, and I'll keep you updated to where the book signings are. I also have a couple of book signings locally at a couple of stores here in Woodland Hills.
Okay.
So definitely I'll keep you posted on that, and I can't wait for it to be out and gonna celebrate. So you know, it's gonna be exciting, and it's also gonna be a little scary to feel so vulnerable and, you know, kind of put yourself out there. But like I said, my hopes are to give someone who may be going through a tough time, or someone who may be in kind of a dark spot, to show them that there is light, that there's light inside them, and that little bit of light can grow even bigger, and they can turn an obstacle into an opportunity.
Exactly. Those are some wise words. I wanted to talk about a little bit more just about how you are so, women naturally maybe are just, they're strong. And how do you sit here and you just find the strength to motivate more people? And like, how can I say this? Where are you gaining your strength from?
You know, I had to really, except what I call as my new normal. I got kind of caught up in comparing myself to what I used to be able to do. And I would say, oh, I used to run 5 miles. Oh, I used to do this. I used to do that. And, you know, I was really hard on myself. And as I was being dismissed from the hospital the first time, I had a doctor, one of the doctors, he was actually my pulmonary doctor, and he said, well, I said, I can't wait till I can run again. He said, well, you're never going to run again. And, you know, I took that and it motivated me. That was one of my biggest motivating moments. And I took that and I was determined to prove him wrong. And it took me 2 years, but I did. I ran again. And it may not have been the fastest time, but I was able to run again. So having that acceptance of your new normal, and what you just accepting what you can do, and starting there, like starting where you are, using what you have, and just doing what you can instead of focusing on what you can't do, seems to keep me moving forward. And just you know, doing what makes me feel good. For me, working out and lifting weights makes me feel good. So doing that makes me feel good. And just being around, surrounding myself with people who believe in me and believe in my dreams, and positive people. You know, I think it's really important to believe in people who not only believe in you, but do believe in your dreams.
Yeah, exactly. Do you have any speeches, upcoming speeches or talks or anything that you have coming? I'm sure you're busy with your whole book thing, but do you have anything aside from your book, like a speech?
Yes, I have a speech coming up. Unfortunately, I have a couple of coming up, and I wish that they were open to the public. Mm-hmm. But they're not. I still love those, and I love those as well, because it's very intimate and private, and sometimes there's some group participation. And my favorite thing to do, like I said, is to connect with people. So on that aspect, on that standpoint, I love it. But I do wish I had one in the next month that was open, so I could, you know.
Yeah. Do you still get a little nervous when you're getting ready for a speech?
Yeah, and the first speech I gave, my dad, who tends to be a little bit like the glass is half full kind of person, God love him, I love him, but he called right when I was on my way to give my first speech, and he said, why are you doing that? And I said, well, dad, he said, don't you know that that is like the number two fear other than death itself?
Death is public speaking, right?
And I said, well, yeah, but it's too late now. I'm on my way. And he said, well, just remember why you're doing it. And that advice has stuck with me because when I get nervous, I think about why I'm doing it. And I'm doing it to inspire and motivate others. That's the biggest reward
is for you to inspire others. Not only tell your story, but to give that inspiration.
Because
right?
It's, you know, honestly, like I had no plans on getting a little emotional in here today, but
that's totally okay.
Sometimes when I talk about it, it takes me back to that time, and I had no idea. My book, because in my book, I don't just talk about my motorcycle accident. I talk about it's intertwined with my early childhood and mm-hmm. early adolescence, and I talk briefly about sexual abuse
yes.
and divorce and other abuse,
okay.
and I talk about those things, which a lot of people have been shamed into not talking mm-hmm. about, and I talk about these things and what I've learned from those and how they made me stronger and how actually those things made me into the person I am and helped me get through the challenges I've had with my motorcycle accident. So other than just the motorcycle accident, in my book, I also touch on those subjects
as
well.
I want to thank you so much for coming today, for
sharing
your story.
Thank you.
I cannot thank you enough and say how special you are. Would you mind sharing with the people again your Instagram name? And
Yes, please follow me. It's Amberly Lago Motivation on Instagram. Follow me on Twitter at Amberly Lago and on Facebook. You can follow my page at Motivational Speaking Amberly Lago.
All right, I want to thank you guys for tuning into Healthy Body, Healthy Mind, and thank you again for stopping
Thanks
by, Amberly.
For having me.
My name is Paula Barrantes. I'm your host on KPCRadio.com.